Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen you and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our pastors.
So, girls, if you're taking notes, I'm calling this Spiritual Warfare Part 2. I did have my shirt on last week, and it was Warrior Saint, Battle-Tested Warrior Saint. I love our Women Rock shirts, and so we'll get some more made. But I really believe that I'm trying to prepare you guys to be Battle-Tested Warrior Saints. The enemy is a deceiver. He's seeking whom he may devour. This is what the Bible tells us. And so if we are just kind of like not thinking about it and we put him off to the side and we don't put a priority on what his tactics are, we're foolish. Last week we talked about when you go to war and you make plans in war, you understand your opponent. And I'm a football mom. My middle son is a football player and not anymore. Now he's a businessman. But when he was in football, he had to study every play that the team was that he was going to go play against. I mean, I didn't realize how much work it is. I know we call them dumb. They're not dumb. They're actually very smart. And he had to do a lot of math in that. And he had to figure out like what his, he had to memorize like tactics and sayings and strategy. And I mean, he was honestly being prepared to be a warrior. And so when he got out on that field, his job was to tackle and take down the guy who was across from him, right? So, and he did a good job at it, but he did not do a good job at it when he did not study these things out. And so Satan is the same way. He is coming after us. He's going to take us out. We better study what he does. We better know what his tactics are. We need to know what open doors that causes him to have a place in our lives. And so that's what we talked about last time, okay? We talked about what open doors look like. We talked about how he comes and how he kills and steals and destroys. What are his tactics? What are his plans? This week, we're going to talk about what who we are and what he does through us. Because it's one thing to understand that you have an opponent in front of you. You have somebody that is trying to take you out. But how do I take you out? Because I don't feel pretty strong. I feel like I'm little. I feel like I'm weak. Maybe I don't feel like I have enough power in me. It's not in you. We're going to learn. It's him through you. And so it's not yourself, but it's him in us. And so I believe that this is going to be a really great message for us to empower you to keep going, to fight your good fight of faith. And so Spurgeon said, and I love how Spurgeon said this. He said, to be a Christian is to be a warrior. The good soldier of Jesus Christ must not expect to find ease in this world. It is in the battlefield. Neither must he reckon upon the friendship of the world. That means we cannot be friends with this world. For that would be enmity, that's combating against God. His occupation is war. That is our jobs. You see, the kingdom of God has rules. It operates, and how it operates. It has systems. God placed systems in place. God gave us laws. God gave us boundaries. God showed us his promises and his goods and his services that he displays to us while we are here on this earth as children of God. This is not for everybody. If you are a Christian and Jesus is your Savior and you live your life for God, these are your weapons and your tools. Now, if you are unsaved, you have no power. You are now being ruled by Satan. You are being ruled by his ways, his systems, and his system and his ways of how he operates. So we are believers. We are Christians. So then what is our capacity? What are our tools? What are our strengths? If the kingdom of God has principles and plans, then how do I operate within those boundaries? And what do I have the ability to do through Christ? If I want to encourage you, come on Sunday nights, because there's a whole nother series on this called The Kingdom of Heaven. And Pastor Deborah is doing the Keys to the Kingdom on Sunday nights, okay? So she already did number one, so you can come on Sunday nights. And she's going to go deep into this. So I'm not going to address a lot of those things because she is. So, but when God, let me just go back a little bit. When God, let's go back to Genesis. God started with Adam and Eve. And he made man and woman for each other. But he didn't make them just for each other. He made them for himself. He wanted to engage. He wanted to have a relationship. Isn't that cool? Think about it. Adam and Eve got to wander in the garden daily with God. What was that like? Like to just hang out with God all the time. And, you know, God telling Adam, why don't you go ahead and name these animals and all of these things. And then the Lord says to him, it's not good for you to be alone. There's not one of your kind. I'm gonna go ahead and give you one of your kind. He puts Adam to sleep because he did not need help. God did not need help making us. And he pulled the rib of Adam and he birthed us women out of the side of Adam. And so here, God gives them the whole entire garden. God gives them capacity. God gives them the goodness of God. They get to walk in the kindness and the glory of heaven. They get to be in the presence of the Almighty. And Eve knows that there's only one boundary, one rule, one line she should not cross. What is it? Do not eat of that tree, the tree of good and evil. And so as Satan comes, as he slitherly does, this little Leviathan, he's like a snake, he's like a dragon. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He comes in the form of lies. He comes in the form of deception. What is deception? It's when you do not understand. You are deceived. You think you're doing the right thing, but you're actually not. You're on the wrong path, and it's going to lead you to destruction. And so here Satan, he comes and he approaches her, and he, who told you? Oh, that tree, don't you know that that tree, when you eat of that fruit, you'll be like God. You'll know the difference between good and evil. See, it was the lure, it was the deception of what Satan wanted to do. Our curiosity, he knows how we work through curiosity. How many of you have teenagers, right? They just want to know a little bit. I want to know what it's like. I want to know what it's like. And then they go and dabble into the world, and they find themselves really deep in some hell. And then they meet the wrong people, and they find themselves down this slippery slope. How many of us did that? I did. I was like the worst, right? And so it was that curiosity. Satan knows how to grab our attention. He knows how to bring curiosity into our hearts. He knows how to deceive us through the things that we look at. The most we look at is what we become. What you look at the most, you become. And so he knows how to speak to us. And so as he began to do this, he began to deceive them. And then they took the bite. And instantly, they knew, oh, we're naked. I'm no longer now. Something's different. And they felt like they now had to hide from the one that they were so comfortable being with every day. They felt ashamed. They've never felt shame before. They'd never felt that separation. They had never felt what they had felt. And God confronts them. Says, what did you do? They tell him about the snake. Go with me to Genesis 3. And the Lord God asked the woman, what have you done? The serpent deceived me, she replied. That's why I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the serpent, Genesis 3:13, if you're wondering where I'm at, through 15. Then the Lord said to the serpent, this is God speaking to Satan. He knows who he's talking to. Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the other animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live. And I will cause hostility between you and woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. And he will strike your head. Right there, that is a prophetic word about Jesus coming. And you will strike his heel. You see, Adam was formed out of what? The dust of the ground. Now Satan, after he fell, is condemned to the ground to grovel and eat the dust. Now, man that was made from dust and Satan that eats from it, we are at odds, we are enmity, we are fighting with each other. And then Adam was the first Adam, the second Adam returned. You see the prophetic word, Jesus came in the form of man. God himself draped himself in humanity, and he came and he took the keys of sin and death, because when this moment happened between Adam and Eve and Satan, Satan now had rule and reign on this earth. It was the only place he could rule and reign. He was kicked out of heaven. He wanted to be like God, and God banished him here and gave him rule and reign over this world. And so Adam was under the sway of now Satan. Man was now under the sway of Satan. We now understand sin. So when people say, well, I'm born this way, I'm born into sin. We're all born into sin. We all have sin in our lives. Our job is now to reject the sin, get a God conscience, a God idea, a God plan, and a God way, and say no to Satan and yes to God. And this is the whole... this is the whole struggle between man and Satan. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He is the author of death. He is the author of lies. He is the one who kills and wants to rob us of all that we have. But yet, church, I'm here to tell you, the second Adam came, and his name was Jesus. And Jesus, on that third day after he died, he came and he took the keys of sin and death from Satan. He went back to hell and he took back his authority. And he said, I'm making a new way for my Christians. I'm making a new way for my children. And because of me and my blood that was shed and my body that was broken, they will have reign and rule over you, and you will no longer be able to overtake them, but they will live in eternity with me if they choose so. But the reality is a lot of people don't choose so. A lot of people still are under the sway of Satan, still under the sway. And Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's trying to show his disciples, listen, I need you to understand that you have authority. And in my name, you can cast demons out. So 76 of the disciples, go with me, Luke 10, 17 through 20. Says, when 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, talking to Jesus. Lord, even the demons obeyed us when we used your name. They were really excited because they're going, we used the name of Jesus, and the demons left the people that they were overtaking. And Jesus says, yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. So Jesus is going, yes, of course. I know how this works. Verse 19, look, I have given you authority over the power of the enemy. Did you guys hear that? I have given you, the people of God, those followers of Jesus Christ, the sons and the daughters of the Most High, I have given you authority. I have given you authority over the power of the enemy so that you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Think about what we just read, that our heel will crush his head, that Jesus crushed the head of Satan. You see, he has now given us authority over that. Nothing will injure you, verse 20, but don't rejoice because of evil spirits obey you. You shouldn't be so excited that you can cast demons out. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. So church, if he's coming after us and we have authority, we need to know how to overtake darkness. We need to be aware of darkness and the tactics of darkness. And we need to know how to combat darkness when it's coming at us. And so first we need to know that we are, number one, being hunted. You are being hunted. You go, Pastor, this is not a fun workshop. I know. There was a lady that once told us, listen, you're always talking about fighting the good fight. You're always talking about being, you know, spiritually strong. You're always talking about this. I'm tired. I just want to live a happy life. I just want to live a good life, carefree. And we were like, okay, we all do too, but that's not on this earth. That's in heaven. And I think we have the wrong idea that we live this blissful life because, you know, that's what the world tells us. But yet, we're being hunted. I'm always on alert. I'm always watching out. I'm always looking out for what's coming. Just two nights ago, I woken up around 2:30, and instantly I could feel something demonic, and I was like, mm-mm. I got up, and I started praying. Then I started hearing weird noises. My dog, who never barks, went downstairs, started barking. I'm like, what is out there? Like, and Dan, I get Dan up. He's always sleeping. If there was a burglar in the house, I'd be like, can you hold on so I can wake up my husband? So I'm like, waking Dan. I'm like, dude, seriously, you need to get your gun. And he's like, what? First, we're going to pray. I'm like, yeah, we pray with a gun. And so if you don't like guns, I'm sorry. We're not worried about it. And so I'm joking. Okay, so Dan's like, we're going to pray. So we got up and we just started praying. We just held hands and we were like, in the name of Jesus, you foul thing that's trying to come and disturb us, disturb our sleep. Our kids started getting up. They were having bad dreams. I had like this nightmare of all nightmares. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, and so we just began to pray. We prayed for a good 10 minutes. He goes, all right, I'm going to bed. And I'm like, okay, then I'm going to bed. And so we knocked out for the rest of the night. You see, you have to always be watching out. You've got to be aware. You see, even I didn't need to use a gun. I just needed to use my weapons of warfare, my spiritual weapons. So I was saying that on purpose because sometimes we go to these natural things and think that's what's going to protect us. But I want to encourage you, that's not what's going to protect you. God is your protector. He is your provider. He is the one who rules and reigns over evil. And you can command evil to leave. And you can disturb and cancel out the plans of the enemy through what I'm going to give you today. Okay? I don't want you to be there afraid. I don't want you to live life afraid. As some of you live alone, I don't want you to be afraid. I want you to be so at peace that you're at rest that you're not worried, because if somebody did walk in your house, you wouldn't even care, because you would just go ahead and pray down heaven on them. And they would have to do what you told them to do, because that's who you're ruled by. God, they're ruled by Satan. You say, well, how do you know they're not like Christians? They just have meat. Oh, come on, knock it off. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us power and love and a sound mind. So when you're afraid if your kids are going to make it, or if they're going to be okay, or if you're afraid what is coming, what are you operating in? Are you operating in fear, which is operating through Satan? Are you operating in a sound mind and the power of God? Amen. I want to teach you how to operate in the power of God and the sound mind. I was so afraid as a young mom. I mean, when Chloe was first born, she's now 21. I'm like, how old is she? She's 21 years old, on her way on a mission trip right now as we speak to Ireland. And she's going to go tell someone about Jesus. And so she's 21 years old now. But when she was first born, she was my baby. Do you remember your firstborn child? Like, they didn't touch anything dirty. They only ate the best. And then my third, I'm like, dude, you're going to live. Eat that dirt. So I was that young mom. And when she was like coming out of the hospital, they told us, oh my gosh, SIDS. SIDS was like a massive issue back then. And I don't know how it is now, but they gave us all these pamphlets. So Dan and I are reading all these pamphlets and we're going, so wait, can't put her on her belly. Okay, we're not going to put her on her belly. Can't put her on her back. Okay, can't put her on her back. Can't put her on her side. Well, how the heck is she supposed to sleep? And so, this is crazy. And so after a while, I was panicking. And I remember I put this little, we had this little two-bedroom, like, house. So small. Like, I did not need a monitor, but I bought one. And so I put the monitor right next to my bed, even though she's literally right next to me. And I was listening to every, like, why? Because I was in fear. Because I didn't want to lose my baby, who I just received as such a gift from God. And she was a miracle baby. If you don't know my story, I couldn't have had children. And so she was a miracle for me. And so as I'm listening to her breathe, the Holy Spirit says to me, what are you doing? I said, I'm listening to her breathe. And he goes, you're not sleeping and you're crabby. And you're begging me to give you sleep. But you're not taking what I'm giving you. She's sleeping. You should be sleeping. I said, I can't sleep. I'm afraid. And he said, that's the problem. You don't trust me. And I went, oof. I go, no, I trust you, God. No, you don't. And you know, have you ever been like, I have to prove you wrong to anybody? Yeah. I was like, and he goes, if you trust me, turn it off. And I turned the monitor off, and I got, for the first time in 3 months, the best sleep I had ever gotten. And it was because I was in fear because of what was being put into my head. And I didn't trust God that he was the author of life and that he knows our days from the beginning to the end and that he knows when we're going and when we're not. And then I had to put that into Chloe. I had to put Chloe into his hands and I had to trust God with that. But I could not have a spirit of fear. It was a spirit of fear that was controlling me. And I needed to use the power and the love of God to fight off this darkness. So number one, here we go. The warrior in this fight, I need to daily, I've got to fight in the power of God. You cannot fight in your own ability, girls. You will fail. You are not enough. We are not enough, but we can fight because he's enough through us. Ephesians 6:12 says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on your whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Your neighbor, your sister, your mama, your in-laws, your, I don't know, your coworker, they're not your enemy. But against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. This is Satan's rule and reign. And we are wrestling that here on this earth. The word wrestle is quite a word, actually. When I looked it up in the Greek, it's a Greek word called pal. And it means Paul was telling us as readers that spiritual warfare can be a bitter struggle. Have you ever been just bitter and angry about how much is coming at you? how much you're having to overcome, how much you're having to believe God for, how much, have we ever heard of the phrase, when it rains, it pours, yeah. Right? Like, seriously, another thing? And at some point, it becomes a bitter struggle, and it becomes an intense conflict in our lives. And so this means that wrestling is for, it is that is an intense struggle. It's a fierce combat. It's a contest or a challenge. It's ongoing conflict. It is not really with the flesh of the blood, but it is with the power of God. We have to wrestle with the power of God through us. And when I was looking up this word wrestle, it's actually pale, comes from the Greek fighting, the gladiators, the people that would go into the Colosseums and they would fight each other. And there were different types of fighting and wrestling. Wrestling today, we think of like what, MMA or, you know, like the wrestlers that wear those really gross outfits. And, you know, sorry if your kid is in it, it's just still a gross outfit. And so they wrestle, right? And they pin each other down and then they tap out, tap, tap, we're out. No, that is not what we're talking about here. This wrestling was where they would bring two men into a wrestling area. And the only terms for their fighting was that they could not touch the genital areas and they could not bite. That's it. So what would they do? They'd gouge each other's eyes out first. Yeah. And then they would rip their limbs one at a time. And this fight did not end until somebody died. This is the term that God put in the scripture for us to fight against Satan. That's how serious our fights are against him. Because he's that serious about taking you and your family out. But we have to be that serious to understand our opponent and understand, okay, so since I'm wrestling against Satan and I need the power of God to help me work through this, then what is it I need to do? That means that we've got to fight to win. We got to fight to win, girls. There's just no option. Stop saying, oh, he's overtaking me. Stop saying, oh, believing his lies. Oh, I don't like this. Or, oh, this is going to happen. Or, oh, this is how my kids are going to end up. Or, oh, I'm not kidding. Like, when we begin to speak those things, then we give Satan power over the circumstances of our lives. We got to change what we say. And so when we fight, we got to fight. The power is in us to obtain and have the ability as children of God to overcome Satan. Ephesians 15, this is how we're going to do it. Therefore, I also, Ephesians 1:15 through 23. Therefore, I also, after I've heard of the faith, I love this scripture because this is going to show us how we are empowered of our Lord Jesus Christ and love for all the saints. Do I have any saints in this room?
Yes.
He's talking to you. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, what does the Father of glory mean? It means he is the Father of goodness. Glory means God's manifested goodness in our lives. That's who he is, okay? May give unto you the spirit of wisdom. This is a gift of the Spirit. And revelation. Revelation is discerning of spirits. And the knowledge. Oh, that's another gift, isn't it? Well, look at all the gifts of the Spirit he's talking about in this scripture. Verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his inheritance in his saints. Let me hold on right there. When I know that I have a future plan, and I know the outcome of that future plan, my goal then is to receive that future plan. But I've got to do what I need to do to get there. But I'm never going to keep my eyes off that future goal, that future plan, right? So if my plan is to go to school one day and become a doctor, I don't like everything that it takes to get there, but I'm going to do it because that's my goal. That's my plan. That's what I put in me. When somebody says, why do you do ministry? Well, I don't do ministry because I choose ministry. I do ministry because God gave me a plan and told me what I had to do. I don't get to choose what I get to do. But I do it, and why can I fulfill it? Why can I overcome all of the evil that comes against us? Why can I fight my good fight of faith constantly? Because I know the plan. Because I know who he is, and I know who I am. And no matter what comes at me, I'm never keeping that out of my mind. I'm completely understood of who I am. I'm settled into who he is, and I understand that it is by him and through him that I operate. And so when we begin to understand that we are no longer just in ourselves alone and on our own, but I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus, and that I now have all that I need inside of me through him, I think of myself differently. I hold myself up differently. I'm not able to call myself stupid anymore because I can't be stupid if I'm a daughter of God. I'm not able to hate on myself as much anymore because he created me. Then I would be offending the one who created me and his masterpiece. You see, when I began to understand who my children are, no longer do they bug me, annoy me, but now I see who their future is going to be and what they're called to do. And when I see behavior that is opposite of who I know they are, I begin to train them and I begin to show them that is not who you are. You stand like a man and you be who God's called you to be. I'm sending you out into this world strong and tough. You are not out in this world beat up and negative. You see, and I began to start training my children because the Bible says, train your children up in the way you should go and they will not depart. You see, when I began to understand that I do not fear what man says, but I can take what man says, a diagnosis, political views or finances, and I can look at the fact and I can bring it to the throne room and I can go, what is the faith on this matter? And what do I need to turn around? And what do I need to put the power of God on? And I can begin to change the way that I think, not because I can do it in my own ability, but I can do it in his power and in his ability because he's good and because his glory reigns and because he's been faithful and he's never not been faithful and I can bank on him. And I love that song today that said, I will worship you here and when my breath leaves, I will worship you there. I was thinking about it. That is the one thing that we can do here and we will do there because it is the beautiful thing that does not even cross lines. Worship. And so here it is. And the hope of his calling. Listen to what he wants for us. He wants, verse 18, that we have, that our understanding be enlightened, that we know what is the hope of his calling. He wants you to know his goodness. What are the riches of his glory and his inheritance for you? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? He already did it, and now he's left it to us. Remember, he talked to the disciples. When he worked it in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and he seated him at the right hand of heavenly places, that means Jesus did the job. He is now in the rightful place next to God. And yet, look at this, far above all principalities, I love that, far above all power, might, and dominion. This is Satan trying to parade himself stronger than you. That is not true. And every name that is named, not only in the same which is to come, talking about demonic powers, he has put all things under his feet. Listen to this. And gave him to be head over all things to the church. Jesus gave the church authority. And when his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Who is now the body of Christ? Now that it's been fulfilled. Us. We are now the body of Christ walking this out on this earth. And so now we have authority. We have power. We have rule and reign over what Satan is trying to throw at you. So if I could do anything today, I want to pump you up so that you remember who you are when you walk out these doors. And if he's been beating you up and knocking you around, you begin to push back, fight back like those Greek fighters. And you poke out his eyes and you take him out because that's what we have to do. We've got to be tough, girls. You cannot be cowards. You cannot be wimpy. He is coming to kill, steal, and destroy. But you can reverse it with the power of God. Jesus is talking to Matthew about this. Go with me to Matthew 12, 27 through 30. Matthew 12, 27 through 30. And he's talking, and if I cast out demons to Beelzebub, they're talking about casting demons out. By whom do your sons cast them out? Beelzebub is Satan. It's another word for Satan. Satan's not going to cast out Satan in Satan's name, is what he's saying. Therefore, they shall be judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, there we go. Surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. That means when you are able to cast out demons in the name of Jesus, you have the kingdom of heaven operating in your life. Okay? And then it says, or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? Right? So if somebody comes and breaks into your home and wants to steal everything from you, first he's got to stop you, right? In order to stop you, however the means are that he's talking about, I was talking about weapons of my warfare and my real ones that my husband uses to do skeet shooting. But the reality is they would have to bind us. If you break into my house, you better bet your butt you will see me on the news and I will be fighting back. I will never let somebody just lay down and take me and my children out. I don't care because I know you're operating in demonic powers. I will fight you spiritually, but I will also use my physical form. And then it says, and then he will plunder his house. He who is not with me, this is what God says. He's talking about Satan coming and taking out your houses, guys. And he says, he who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Wow. You see, Mark 16, 17 through 18, he says, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. Right. Just did it last Saturday. They will speak in new tongues. Speaking in tongues. They will take up serpents. I don't want to do that one, but I mean, if we talk about spiritual things, I have done that. And if they drink any deadly thing, listen, what is in our water? How many times are we hearing about microplastics? Yeah. How many times are, let's just take this back to where we're at right now. How many chemicals are in our food? How much stuff is in our air? Yeah. Right? Yeah. But this tells me that God knew we would be living in these times. And that I can pray over my food, and I can pray over my environment, and that I can begin to reverse whatever effects that Satan wants to have against me and my body and my family and my children. Amen. Right? Now, I'm not saying don't do anything about it. Try not to. Do the best you can. It's really hard. And I will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick. Come on now. And they will recover. When people are like, Pastor, I need you to pray for me because I'm sick. No. You need any believer in this room to pray for you. Because we all have the ability to pray for the sick and lay hands. And they will recover. You see how beautiful that is? Matthew 16, 18. And I also say to you that you are Peter. This is where the Rock Church was named after, this verse. I want to put it all over. And it says, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell, it says Hades in this verse, shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That means that we have the authority and the ability to bind and loose what Satan is trying to come in and steal, kill, and destroy from us. Amen. But are we doing it? Are we working this out? Are we even recognizing it as an attack? Yes. Or is it just so common and we're so used to it? But instead, I've got to go, no. You see, Jesus has passed authority to the church here on earth now. We are now the power of God working in and through us. It is time for us to take authority. You see, how do I do that, Pastor? I don't know how to do that. When you are coming up against something, you can bind and you can loose. You can come after. I'm going to tell you a crazy story. I just love this woman, and I didn't ask her permission, but I'm sure she wouldn't care. She was actually robbed and stolen from her house here in San Bernardino. I know that the people we pastor is amazing, the stories I get. And she literally was taken to an ATM, and she didn't have a lot of money, and they told her to empty her ATM out. She's like, I don't want that much, but okay. Like, and so she gave them their money. They put her back in the car, held her at gunpoint. They're driving, and she's like, I'm going to start praying. She starts praying in tongues. She is praying in the spirit. And do you know what happens? These two guys that stole her and, like, kidnapped her, they were like, what are you doing? Shut up. Shut up. And she's like, nope. I will not shut up. I'm a woman of the Most High God. And she began, I bind you right now, Satan, that is trying to rob me and steal from me. You will let me go right now in the name of Jesus. They pulled over and pushed her out of the car. I'm not even joking. Not even joking. She got dropped off in Muskoy. And she was able to call her family and come pick her. I mean, she has these crazy stories, but what did she do? Did she freak out? Was she like, nah, these two young guys are way stronger than me. I'm an older woman. There's no way I can overtake them. She was like, I can overtake them. I'm tough. I know who my God is. And she began to use some tools that freaked them out. And they understood. They knew. I'm sure those boys had grandmamas that did teach them, and they were doing things they shouldn't be doing. And so they were like, I know what that is. You got to get her out of here. You see, what do we need to fight, and how do we need to fight? Because we got to bind some things. We got to become more than conquerors. We can't allow Satan to just come and beat us up and take us pillar to pillar. And we're constantly in fear and worry and doubt, and we don't know where God is, and we don't know how to do the next step. You don't. But in the power of Jesus, you can. And you can start asking God, what am I coming up against right now? What is it that I'm experiencing, or I'm feeling, I'm frustrated about, or I'm discouraged over this? And I don't know, like maybe there's something happening in your body. And when things happen in my body, I say, Lord, show me. Show me what's going on. Because I go to the doctor, they know nothing. And so I need to know what is happening in my body. And the Lord will begin to show me, he'll speak to me, or he'll lead me to a certain website or whatever. And I will figure out with God how to handle these things. Then I go to the doctor and I ask him for the prescription, because then I don't want to pay the price. So I'm the doctor and God's the doctor. And so that is how I've had to live my life. Because when I don't understand these things, I have to ask the Holy Spirit to teach me. He's your teacher. He's your power. He's your strength. Tap into him. Learn to hear his voice. Learn to be close to him. Because this will be the greatest power you ever have against anything trying to come against you and your children and your families. All right, you guys ready for number two?
Yeah.
You still okay with me?
Yeah.
All right. The warrior in this fight, I have to put on my armor. We have to put on the armor of God. You know, they don't go into these battles with no armor on. Now, these Greek men, they did go into battle naked, and I was like, that was stupid. But like now, you know, if you go on that football field, they got everything you can think of. You even see those football players with those double, you know, helmets on, because they have no brains when they're done with the game. And so you got to put on your armor. What's your armor look like? Well, Ephesians talks to us about this. And I love how God, he was showing me this morning. He said, look at the armor I give you as my church and my body. But it's not just your armor. It's also your weaponry. It's a twofold thing for you. It's your armor, which protects you, and it's your weapons, which you use in combat against the enemy. See, God doesn't waste anything. Ephesians 6, 13 through 17, go with me there. 6, 13 through 17. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Are we in the evil day? And having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on your breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking on the shield of faith, that you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And these little scriptures, there's so much power. In these little scriptures, there's so much for you to put on. In these scriptures, I want to encourage you that daily, put it on. You go, Pastor, what does that mean? I'm going to feel stupid doing that. Who cares? Who cares if you feel stupid doing it? I started this with my children when they were really, really little. And every single night, we would put on our armor before they went to bed. Because they were waking up with bad dreams. And I was like, we're going to teach them how to fight. And so every night, I still to this day, my grown children, I will call them if they are not home and pray with them. And I will put on their helmet of salvation and their breastplate of righteousness and their belts of truth and their swords of the Spirit and their shields of faith, and their feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I declare over my children that no weapon formed against them will prosper, that they will have the peace of God that will rule and reign in their hearts, their minds, and their lives. And no weapon that the enemy throws at them, that they will be able to combat it. They will overtake him. Every plan that he has for them, we break your power right now in the name of Jesus. We bind your works. This is what I pray over my kids every night. My kids can probably repeat it to you every night. Why? Because I believe that it's the power of God that has kept my children. There has been time and time again, suicidal thoughts tried to come after my daughter and take her out. Identity issues tried to come and take her out, tell her she was something she wasn't. And she had to fight this. She had to learn who she was in Christ. She had to know the woman of God God made her to be, and not what the world was trying to tell her. She could not allow images to overtake her. She could not. How did she do that? She learned how to fight the good fight of faith. She didn't just give in to the narrative of what the world tells them. And so the reality is she had to learn to put on her armor. She had to learn to use it. Let's talk about the armor. Number one, number A under this, gird your waist with truth. What does that mean? What is truth? Truth is what God says,
right?
Not what the world says, not what facts say. Because sometimes if God says 1 + 2 is not 3, it's 6. If God says 1 + 3 is 6, it's 6. Why? Because God made it. God knows all, and he is in all, and he knows everything. So what does God say? It's going to look different than what Satan is throwing at you. What is truth? What God says. If his word does not say it, then don't live by it. If you can't find it in your Bible, then don't follow it.
Right.
Listen to me. And not some other Bible, not somebody's TikTok little 30-second Instagram reel or whatever, where they like give you a little glimpse of their like little message out of context. You make sure you understand this Bible for yourself. You go back and you check it for yourself. You put the word in you. You wrap that truth of God around you. And what it says, you live by it. This truth will keep you from believing all kinds of doctrine and witchcraft. Amen. There's a ton of witchcraft going on right now. Tons. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if there's some witches in this room. And let me tell you the truth. You've met your match. I've been facing a lot of demonic things. And I'll tell you right now, girls, don't be stupid. Amen. These are open doors. And these are demonic things. They come through Instagram. They come through TikTok. They come through what you have in your eye gate and your ear gate. What are you listening to? What are the words to those songs you're listening to? What's behind it? Some of your favorite artists are witches themselves. Oh, but yep. We just love them. We know, you know, it's a fine pastor. Okay, well, just keep opening your kids up to that. Go ahead. Yep. And when they're having bad dreams and they're getting attacked by Satan, you find out what open door you just opened. Right. Amen. I was totally judged that I was too stern with my kids, that I was too this with my kids. But I'll tell you right now, my kids are tough. I got two adults making it in the world and making it work and doing things the right way, God's way. And then I got a 16-year-old who knows how to fight the good fight of faith, because I didn't let these things creep into our home. When it would start, we watch things, and after a while, I'd be like, guys, I don't like where this is going. I have a cringe in my heart. Every day, yeah, mom, yeah. And we turn it off. And we repent as a family. God forgive us that we've allowed this to come in and be an influence in our eyes and our ears. You see, guys, you gotta put on truth. You gotta change some things. You might need to go home today and throw out some things. You might need to unfollow certain programs that you've been following. You might need to ask God to break that addiction that you have to someone's crazy life that you love watching. Because what is their life producing? Is it producing truth, or is it producing ungodliness? This will pull you away from living in the truth of God and being protected by Him. B, put on the breastplate of righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is right standing with God. Jesus is the picture of righteousness. Jesus is righteous. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's all-good. And He has done all things, and He has now finished His work here on this earth. And He's an example to us, and that we now can be the righteousness of Christ Jesus ourselves. That we can be right with God. That means that I am no longer standing in the ways of this world, but I'm right standing with Christ. I've got to work at this daily because I'm very natural. I'm very human, and people bug me a lot. I'm human. I'm not any more anointed to live this out than you are. I'm just anointed to preach it, and then I got to live it too. And so when we understand that I've got to stay righteous, that means I've got to be responsible to keep my heart and my mind and my soul in line with what God's word says, with what God is asking of me, and that I need to be in right standing with Christ on a daily basis so that I know my position in the kingdom is solid, and that when Satan comes after me, I'm not going to be taken out. Got it? How about this? See, shod your feet. We don't use the word shod, but they would, when you shod a horse, when you put a horse hoof, I had horses, they have hooves, if you didn't know that. And they have shoes, metal shoes, and they shod the shoe. They actually shave it down, and then they nail the shoe into the horse's hoof. And when you do, I used to ride horses a lot. And so when they did that, that shoe would not come off. If that shoe came off, it was bad. Very bad for the horse. And it was very dangerous because it would go flying and usually hit somebody. And so when we put the gospel to our feet, the preparation of the gospel of peace, that means that we are caring. We are people that bring peace to every room we walk in. If you are drama diva, you are not doing this well. What are you bringing into the rooms that you walk into? Are you bringing the peace of God? Are you bringing in the reconciliation of Christ? When your children are at each other, oh my goodness, I'm using parenting a lot, but we're moms, right? My kids can fight good. And when they would fight, they would try and say mean things. And I was like, no, we don't talk like that in this house. I would never let them say mean things to each other. Why? Because we're not going to get into a habit that this is okay. So if you keep saying it as a young person, you're going to do it as an old person. And so I had to break that habit. I had to bring peace to that situation. I would make them apologize to each other because I didn't want them to be so proud that they could never apologize to somebody later in life. So I was teaching them at a young age, you gotta humble yourself and now go back and apologize. I had to do this with my boys just the other day. I was like, dude, seriously? 18-year-old man? And he's like, what? I was just joking. Yeah, well, you heard that verse that Pastor Dan talked about. Not the fool that says he's just joking in Proverbs. But see, I'm still having to bring peace to the rooms. I can't tell you, with my family, I'm like that glue. They'll call me and be like, so-and-so is doing this, so-and-so did this, da-da-da. And I'm like, all right, let me call them. What's going on? Oh, I'm just having the worst day. I'm so irritated about this. Okay, well, let's just like not go off on each other, but let's bring peace to the situation. Let's pray through this. How can we fix this? We are not each other's enemy. We are each other's family. We have to stay together. Stay in love, stay in faith, stay in unity, right? And so this is something that we have to bring to the world we're around, okay? So you're bringing the peace of God's good news to people. Number D, if you're taking this note, take on the shield of faith. What is the shield of faith? The shield of faith is to combat the darts of the evil one. He is throwing darts at you. What do these darts look like? Their lies, their thoughts. He says, I cast down every vain imagination that parades itself above the things of God, right? The verse says that. What are those vain imaginations? They're lies from Satan. He is the author of lies. So you might get this crazy thought in your head and you think, that's my thought. That's my thought. No, it's not your thought. You get this thought in my head, I'm this or I'm that. No, you're not. I'm here to tell you you're not. That's a lie from the enemy. You put up your shield of faith and you say, get out of here with that thought. In the name of Jesus, I do not accept that. That thought is not what's going to happen to my kids. That thought's not what's going to happen to me if I get in this car and drive somewhere. That thought is not what's going to happen to me if the doctor tells me something when I'm about to go to the doctor's report. You see, you got to begin to put up your shield of faith because Satan is going to throw every fiery dart at you, and you have a choice to take it or you have a choice to combat it with your shield of faith. Faith is believing in what you cannot see. And God has given you the ability to have that gift of faith. All right? How about put on the helmet of salvation? You got to protect your head. What carries your head? Your thoughts, your memories, right? Your ability to get through a day or understand what to do next. And yet salvation covers us and it protects us. It's the salvation, it's your anchor, it's your connection to God, it's your inheritance in Christ Jesus. It is who you are. It is you no longer in operation of demonic and evil things, but it is you saved and reconciled and restored and healed and ready to go. And God's salvation is covering you. His blood is covering you. His body, which was broken, is covering you. And you are protected by the helmet of salvation. Put that on every day. Remember what he did for you. Remember why you can be saved. Remember the price that was paid for you. When you do this, you will no longer be able to be taken out so fast. Amen. And you'll be able to begin to say, no, in the blood of Jesus, I'm covered. And I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I am saved and I am whole. When you question, am I saved? But you know that you are. Maybe you messed up or maybe you didn't get things right. Guess what? We all do that. That's why there's repentance. That's why there's a relationship. When I do something stupid to Dan, I go and talk to Dan about it and then we make out. I was supposed to say makeup. And makeout came out. Oh, Lord. I'm on the marriage series on the weekends. Don't tell Dan I said that. I was supposed to say makeup. Okay, am I red? Yeah. Well, I guess we make out too. Oh, where were we? Okay, so we're putting on the helmet of salvation. Woo, it's hot in here. All right. The next one, F, we use the sword of the Spirit. Sword of the Spirit. This is the word of God. Isn't that cool that this is like a sword? I've actually seen this like happen in the natural. There is two kingdoms. There's demonic kingdom, which we've been talking about, and the kingdom of heaven. That's angels and demons. And one time I was casting a demon out of somebody, and
I was new to the whole thing. I think Pastor Nokoy came in the middle of that one, remember, a long time ago. And I was like, I don't know, I've been praying in the name of Jesus. This kid, like, climbed on a ceiling, like, ew, crazy. I've never seen anything like that. So I think as a young person, I was like, this is real, like The Exorcist. Like, I was stupid and young. But now I know, I don't even play that game. We don't even let them go there. And so now, I learned, though, in that room, as soon as I grabbed my Bible and I started reading the Bible, the demons were screaming, no, stop, shut that thing, no, leave me alone. Because why? Because the sword of the Spirit was cutting them away from this poor boy that they had overtaken and lied to him and robbed him of his life. And when he combated it, the first thing I said was, you need to read your Bible daily. You've got to fill up with the Spirit of God. You've got to get refilled because the sword of the Spirit breaks. It says that the Word of God is like a knife that cuts between the bone and the marrow. And that is a delicate cut to cut away the bone and the marrow. That is the fat. Oh, I would love some fat cut away for me. How about you guys? And so when it cuts it away, it's a delicate cut. And yet the Word knows how to delicately cut us, correct us, shape us, and get us back on track. Isn't that good? Have you ever read your Bible and been like, ooh, I'm not doing that. I'm sorry, God. Like, help me. Have you ever read the Bible and you're like, ooh, I gotta make a new plan for my life. I'm on the wrong path. You see, the Bible so gently comes and nudges us and tells us what to do. It's a sword, but it's also a sweet little knife that cuts away the things that we don't need in our lives. You see, this battle is yours. You can take it. You can overcome it by putting on your armor. Are you guys still okay with me? Yes. Where are we at on time? Good? Okay. I got one more point, but it's a lot. You guys ready? Because I'm throwing it all in, like, you know, like the kitchen sink right now, because I don't have three sessions with you. Okay. So to be a warrior, you got to fight. Now we know we have our armor, and then you've got to use the gifts that God gives us. Isn't that nice? He knows we're going into battle, and he's like, let me gift you. Because I don't want you to if I have a kid, right, I'm not going to send my kid to college with nothing. Right? A good mom is like, do you have food? Because, honey, you're looking skinny. I need you to eat. Right? Like, you make sure they have food. How about this? When my daughter went to college, I made her this medical pack. Because there were certain things she needed that I knew I always had to help her with, right? Like Neosporin and stuff like that. And so I sent her with everything she needed. These were little gifts I gave her. These were things that I made sure. God is doing the same thing. He knows you're going to go out into battle. So he's like, I need you to have some gifts. And it's going to be a dynamite power that I'm going to give you, like we talked about. And then you've got your armor on, but let me give you some gifts while you have your armor on so that you know what's coming at you and you know how to fight. 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 11. I am sweating up here, but now I'm scared to take off my coat because you'll see my sweat marks. Perimenopause sucks. And so, okay, I can only say that to the girls. Okay, for one who is given to the word, ready, verse 8. 12:8. For the one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. These are the gifts that God gives us. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. That sounds like the same one. Well, I'm going to break it down for you. Verse 9. To another, the faith in the same Spirit. And to another, the gifts of healing into the same Spirit. And to another, the workings of miracles and prophecy. And to another, discerning of spirits. And to another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. The most beautiful part of this verse is, let me tell you this. You're going, I don't know if I've operated in any of these gifts. These gifts are freely yours. They're freely ours as believers. We can ask God for them. Did you know that? There's been times in my life where I did not have faith over something that I needed to believe God for. People going to the hospital, my kids needing something, my husband and I having to believe for this church on many scales of finances or employees or all of it, just all the horrible stories we have to navigate through every day. And so I've had to ask God, God, I ask for a gift of faith in this circumstance. God, give me your gift of faith. I need your faith to get through this. Or I'll ask God, I need a discerning of spirit. What am I dealing with? What am I coming up against right now, God? And the Lord would be like a spirit of fear, or I'll hear, there was one time this person was just in our ear, just mimicking. He's like, that's a spirit of mimic, get it out.
And I was like, in the name of Jesus, you have to go. And that person shut up. Stop talking. And see, this is where I was a discerning of spirit. Okay, so let's talk about these different gifts that he gives you. Because it's not just for me. He's not a respecter of persons. It's for you. Okay? So prophecy. You say, well, I'm not a prophet. I'm not like Isaiah. And I'm not like Elijah. No, but you are you. And God, if God wants to tell you something, he's going to tell you something. Because this is a gift. And prophecy is from the divine inspiration declaring the purposes of God, whether they are reproving or admonishing the wicked or comforting the afflicted or revealing things that are hidden. That's what prophecy can do, especially if we're telling of future events. This is not witchcraft. Sometimes the church does call them seers, but I don't like that because the witchcraft world uses that word. It is prophetic. God will speak future things to and through different people. Messages of encouragement usually come from prophetic, and it actually has a purpose and a reason. It is on purpose and is timely, and God uses this, not just to speak of the future, but to encourage hearts, okay? So that's what prophecy is. God could do that through you one day. All right, next one, speaking in tongues. Oh, that's weird, Pastor. That left with the last apostle. Show me in the Bible where it says that. I've been waiting for somebody to show me. The one scripture they did take it out of was in 1 Corinthians. We just went through the whole book of 1 Corinthians. I'm telling you, we debunked that really fast. So God lit up his church on Pentecost. They all spoke in other tongues. And it said 3,000. Think about what that was like. And they were not all together. Boy, God can span different nations and different realms all at the same time. God will get his work done when he wants it done. And speaking in tongues is not weird. It can be weird if you want to make it weird. But it's actually not weird for us believers. It's actually a gift. It's a beautiful expression. It's a language, a hidden language of heaven. And God gives us this language that when we don't know what to pray, that we can then speak in our unknown language, and we're praying what God needs us to pray. Heaven is then praying through us, and our prayers are no longer just like, Lord, help them, Lord, save them, Lord. But maybe it's specific, and God is doing something. And then what you can do after you've prayed that, you can ask the Holy Spirit, what did I just pray? I do it all the time. And the Holy Spirit will show me, oh, you were praying for this nation. You were praying for this person over in this area of the world. I'm like, me? I got to do that? Like, it was pretty cool because now we're like on this bigger grand scale of kingdom. And it's no longer just us here in San Bernardino. We're praying for just us. But God is now using us to pray in specific things that are combating Satan. Specific things. And it's a beautiful thing. Sometimes people will speak in tongues in front of a church. And if they do, there needs to be an interpretation in front of other people. And if you speak in tongues, it is to edify and build you up. So if you are feeling weak and tired, use your prayer language. And it will just like boost up your spirit, man, on the inside. And you'll have the energy and the capacity to continue on in your day. Okay? All right. Interpretation of tongues. Understanding or expressing the thought of intent with tongues. So what it is you can pray and ask God for the interpretation, all right? And he will reveal that to you. How about a gift of faith? We talked about this a little bit, but there has been many people. There was a wonderful woman of God here in this church, and she got really badly hurt, and honestly, it looked like she was going to pass. And there was just this gift of faith on us as a staff. And we just believed God, and she to this day is still alive. She should have been dead. She is operating. She is functioning. God has used her in mighty abilities and capacities because I believe that we were operating in a gift of faith and believing for her healing, and we would go lay hands on her. We would pray for her, and she began to see the result of a body of Christ coming together using our gift of faith and also the gift of healing together. So see, sometimes these gifts will be operating simultaneously or together. Gifts of healing. It's supernatural gift of divine healing. It is supernatural healing without natural means. What does that mean? I had somebody just tell me recently, well, I really don't think, that she calls herself a Christian, I really don't think, you know, that God does like one and done, like right away that God heals things. But it's probably over time, and he gives you a plan, and she's trying to talk herself out of that miracle working power that God can do that. Now, God does heal along the way, for sure. And sometimes it takes time. God does heal through doctors and plans if that is the avenue that we're going through. But there are times that God will heal. And he will just supernaturally heal people. I've seen it happen with my own eyes. I've seen God heal blind eyes. I have seen God open deaf ears. He will do that. And these are supernatural healings. These are not because of a doctor. These are not because of other things. But it is a gift of healing. It has nothing to do with the natural or medical science. Okay? Gift of working of miracles. How about this? Divine intervention that alters circumstances. Have you ever been almost in a car accident and you don't know how you're not dead? That is a miracle. That is a miracle. Every time we sit in an altar call, guys, that's a miracle literally being manifested in front of us. That person just went from on their path going to hell to switching over and heading to heaven if they were to pass away. That is a miracle, right? We have seen miracles, signs, and wonders. And we could tell story after story about this, but for time's sake, we won't. But miracles are real. God does them, and he wants to do them through you and through your prayer time and through your belief and through your faith, okay? How about this? Word of knowledge. The Holy Spirit allows you to know something specific that you didn't learn in a natural means. That means he deposits something into your heart. It's a word of knowledge. It's a supernatural transformation of information. You couldn't possibly have known it through natural process. But you know it because God is talking to you about it. If you know Pastor Joel, he does this all the time. In fact, I'm like, stop it. Like, stop. I don't want you to shut up. Because he will just go up to people and be like, you did this, this, and this, and you need God to do. And I'm like, dang, that's so rude. Shh. But he's like, no, we're going to deliver them of that. They're going to get free of that now. It's no longer going to bind them. It's no longer going to consume them. You see, that's a word of knowledge. He had understanding of what was going on in their life, and he was able to draw that out so that they could get rid of it. See, that overcomes Satan's plan in that person's life. Okay, does that make sense? Yeah. Discerning of spirits. This is a gift that the Holy Spirit makes a believer aware of and the presence of demonic spirits. So many times this happens to me. In fact, I use this one all the time. I will ask the Lord, show me. Show me what I'm dealing with. I'll be on the phone with somebody and they're just acting crazy and I'm like, what am I dealing with here? And the Lord will talk to me and he'll tell me. If I'm at the store and something odd is happening and I'm like, Lord, what is going on here? He's like, just take authority over it. We were on our anniversary trip just recently and we were told to go and watch monk chants or something. I don't know what they really were because it's not my religion. But we were in this Catholic church and they were like singing scripture back and forth to each other. So I was like, wow, this is amazing in Latin. And so I didn't understand one word they said. And so this dude walks in the back of the church and he looks sketchy. And I'm thinking, where's my security team? Because these people don't know nothing. And so he beelines me like this. And I was like, oh, crap, here we go. And I'm thinking, do I flag down the priest? Like, you need to take care of this. Or I can. Like, who? You have the authority in this room, though, so I don't want to usurp your authority. Like, I literally was thinking this in my head. And I'm like, Dan, do you see him? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, Jess, you always attract these demons. Like, we can't go anywhere. It's so annoying to me. And I'm like, I'm sorry. And so he's like, well, let's just keep an eye on him. I'm like, okay. So, Nicole, come over here. I'm going to just show them what he did. So just say this is me sitting down. And he comes up behind me and he's like, and I was like, oh, hell no. I said, hell no in church. And I said, in the name of Jesus, you foul spirit, like out loud while the monks are chanting. And I'm like, you gotta go. You shut up right now and you leave now. And Dan was like, in the name of Jesus, get out. He walked away from us like this, like he kept his eye on us. And Dan goes, no, don't even look at us. And he turned and he just like went out the door. You see, guys, you got to be aware. You got to discern what that was demonic. Whatever that was going to try and intimidate me. Please, I'll intimidate you. Like, I am not afraid of this. But I was in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of a random day, not thinking about the deep things of God. I was actually thinking, what are they saying? Everybody else thinks this is pretty, and I don't. What's wrong with me? Am I not spiritual enough? Like, I was literally having my own crisis. Is this a religious Spirit, God. Like, this is what I'm in, my own conversation with the Lord. And then this dude comes in behind me. You gotta be awake, girls. You gotta be discerning. Know what's happening around you. Ask the Lord what's going on. And he will drop it into your spirit, man. And you don't have to take a ton of time. You don't have to be loud and crazy. I was not loud. Nobody even knew that happened. It's probably except for the people behind us. And I was like, and just get out. Get out. And so we just take authority over it. We tell it what to do because in the name of Jesus, we have the authority to cast out demons, right? All right, word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is a divine answer or a solution to a particular question or a challenge. How many of you need some words of wisdom for life? Yeah, you're going to get that from the Holy Spirit. This comes from knowing what is the right thing to say or what to do in a situation. It's a word of wisdom. We need words of wisdom operating in our daily lives. This is an attack against Satan. When we follow God's plan for our lives, Satan has no power in our lives. See, Satan can't come and ruin God's plan only if we allow him. And so if I have a word of wisdom, I then know how to pray for my family. I know what to do for my family. I know what to do financially. I know what to do for my marriage. I know what to do for my children. I know what to do for my business. I know what to do for my school education. I will have a word of wisdom, and then I can hold on to that word of wisdom, and I can run with it because I know that God is faithful and that he gave it to me and that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you get it? Yes. All right. Well, did you get something from this? Let me go back to you. Awesome. Good. I hope you got some tools in your belt. Some of you, it's just a reminder of who you are. And some of you, go home and study this out. Ephesians 6:10. Let me follow up with this. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, talking to us, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on your whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Remember, people are not your enemy. But against principalities and powers and against the rulers of darkness of this age and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. You see, but pastor, I know this person is evil. Listen, they might have demonic spirits. I didn't even talk about this. They might be ruled by darkness. But don't hate them. They need to be delivered. Pray for their salvation and pray against what they're spewing. Does that make sense? So go after their plans and their attacks, but pray for the salvation of their soul. Got it? Okay. I don't want to send you out there like hating on everybody. Okay. Therefore, take up your whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand. Girls, stand up. Put your shoulders back and your bellies out, all right? Stand up, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, be peacemakers wherever you go. Above all, taking on that shield of faith that you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. What is he throwing at you? Send it back, okay? And take on your helmet of salvation and your sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication. Do you know what supplication is? It is thanksgiving. Yeah. So all prayer, perseverance, and thanksgiving for all the saints. Church, let's be fighters. You've got this. You can do this because of Christ in you. You have authority over Satan to overcome anything he's throwing at you. Can I just pray a blessing over you tonight? Lord, I thank you for these beautiful, mighty women of God. Lord, I pray, God, a hedge of protection upon them, Lord. We're just going to put on our armor, Lord. We put on our helmet of salvation today, God. Our breastplates of righteousness, our belts of truth, Lord, our swords of the Spirit and our shields of faith, and our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Lord, go before us in our coming and, God, in our leaving. God, I pray that, God, that you would open doors that only you can open. Lord, we in Jesus' name break the plans of the enemy over their lives, over their families, over their finances, over their thoughts, over their destiny, over their future, over the goals and the plans that God has purposed in their hearts. And Lord, I pray a blessing over them, a covering over them. Lord, I pray the peace of God to rule and reign in their hearts and their lives, Lord. I pray, God, that your goodness would pour out upon them, Lord. I pray you give them wisdom to raise their children, wisdom to love their husbands, God, wisdom to be incredible businesswomen, God, and students, Lord. I pray, God, that you would help them to be wonderful grandparents, Lord, and people, God, that they come across, neighbors, God, and friends, God. Teach us to be more like you, Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank you, God, that you will fulfill your plan on this earth, that your kingdom come and your will be done through our lives in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I love you, girls.
If this message spoke to you, we'd love to hear from you. You can follow us on social media or visit our website at rockchurch.com.